Everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Cornucopia of Tales and Tellers. Now, normally, what we do is we have some people on, we have them discussing a story, and we talk about that story. Today is sort of the opposite. Yes, we have two fantastic people joining us, but today is actually why I won't tell a story. Have you ever done that? Is there a story out there that for some reason you wouldn't want to, or just won't tell for some particular reason? The story today is The Snow Girl. The Snow Girl is a very famous story, possibly from Russia, possibly from Finland. You might know it as The White Maiden. This story is quite famous. It is in a lot of English teaching textbooks. It's quite a familiar story for a lot of storytellers. Beautiful little story. But I don't tell this story. And you're about to find out why. So we have two fantastic people joining us today from very different backgrounds. So I am in the Glens of Antrim in Ireland. You will hear the story from Gustavo, who is in Lima, Peru, and you will hear a version of the story from Bowen Lee in California in the United States. So we're across continents, we're across oceans, and we're across hemispheres. Now, this story is, it's a special story. It's a nice story. It's a beautiful story. But I would never tell it. And the reason for that is, well, there's many reasons, actually. But it was actually Bowen's version of events and her version of the story that, thanks to her, she shared with us one time in, it was in a Zoom meeting with a couple of other tellers. And we discussed, it came up naturally in conversation. And she told her version of events with the story and things that happened, and it silenced a room. And I would never be able to tell this story because of that, because it's so deeply ingrained in an emotional connection. It's kind of like why I would never tell The Children of Lear. Now, The Children of Lear is one of the most famous Irish stories from mythology on the planet. It's up there with Finn McCool, Oisín, and Tiernan Og. And you will see statues of three swans or the children of Lear or some part of that story all around Ireland. I mean, even the different counties of Ireland trying to claim that the children of Lear is based there. I know people who claim it's in Derry, in Mayo, even in Wicklow, in Cork, in Kerry. But I would never tell that story because there's such a connection to it, maybe. One of the interesting things about storytelling is the connection we do find with stories. When I was doing my storytelling qualification, even Liz Weir said that when you're looking for stories to tell or you're hearing stories all the time, but a story that you want to tell or a story that matches you will find you. You don't find it. And one of the beautiful things of storytelling is it's a great leveler. You know, it acts as a mean, you're going to find out today, it acts as a means of mental health support. It helps develop resilience. It's been proven to be successful in mental health recovery. As teachers who have used this before, we all know it's key to empathy between different languages, different cultures, and different learners. And it gets, especially young learners, it gets them excited for reading again. So what you're going to hear today, there's Gustavo will help you hear a very practical version of the story, so how you can bring it into the classroom, and then brace yourselves. But enjoy. This is very different ways, methods, and versions of the same story, and in particular, why people may not tell a story because of the emotional connections to it. See what you think, and let us know when you hear them. Enjoy, and thank you very much.
Hello. There are stories that seem to us maybe not important in our environment. I'm Peruvian, I'm Peru. And this is a story that has to do with Russia, with a very far away country. It has to do with climate change. It also has to do with the solstice, the climate, the solstice, the changing of solstice. But it also has to do with love, with mother-daughter love. But let's go to the story. In Russia, there was a very small community up Russia. And it was a very small community. And this community in this place lived a couple. And this couple was a middle-aged couple. They had a good life. They were loved by the community. They had a good situation. They had a farm. In general, they had lived in a good life. They were a middle-aged couple. There was only one thing they didn't have. They didn't have children. And the mother, especially, was very sad about that. She was craving to have all the time, craved to have a daughter, especially a daughter. Now, this is a country where the climate is very, very the change of the seasons is very definite. Once it was a very, very crude winter, and it was near Christmas, November and December, and the winter solstice was just about to come. It was the longest and darkest night in one day in the winter solstice, and it was snowing, and the woman half asleep went out and half asleep, and she took some snow and she started to make a snowman. Actually, she made a snow woman. She was very definite. She was a very good sculptor, in a sense, snow sculpture. She made a very beautiful girl. She molded her elbows and her face and her hair and her skirt and her feet and her arms. It was a beautiful, beautiful snow girl. And when she had finished this, she went in her house. Now, the next day, she was asleep, and suddenly she heard something. She heard the ringing laugh. And she got up, and she went to the window and looked. And there was a girl running, running. There was the snow girl running around and jumping and running around. And she went out and opened the door. And the girl just went up to her and embraced her and said, "Mother, here I am. I've come to be with you. I'm your daughter. I am your daughter." So the mother was very, very happy. She was very happy. She immediately called her husband and introduced her, the daughter, the girl. She was a young girl. And the girl was so nice, so beautiful. But she also, not only beautiful, she was a very good girl, very, very compassionate girl. She was a very friendly girl. And all the community was very, very happy with her. She was all the time running with the boys and the girls and skating this in the ice and playing, and all the time she was playing, and all the community immediately got very well with her. So time passed, and the winter began to come to an end. The first defrosting started. And in this community, is where it was a custom that when the winter finished, they one day they got all together. They all got together on the in the center of the village, and they dig a big bonfire. And all the people went there, and they were very happy because the summer was coming, frosting. So they were very happy. And all the people went there that day. And the mother told the girl, "Please, let's go, let's go." But the girl was a little, she didn't seem that she didn't want to go there. And but the mother said, "Come, let's go. Let's get cheerful because the summer is coming, heat is coming. So come." So the girl, she loved her mother very much. She went, and they all sat by the fire, all sat around the fire. And some started the boys and the girls and young people started to jump over the fire because of the custom to jump over the fire. The fire was crackling there, and suddenly one boy just cried and just went there and jumped over the fire, giving a cry. And then and a girl just from the other end of the fire just went and just giving a cry, she went over the fire. And so all the girls and boys jumped over the fire, the fire, until they had finished. They had finished. The only one who had not jumped was Snow Girl. And the mother said, "My child, please, we are happy. Please go jump over the fire. Jump over the fire. We are very happy." But the girl just cowered and said, "Mother, must I?" "Yes, you must." And the girl, "Yes, mother." She smiled at her mother, and she, as the other boys and girls did, she just took some took she put her back, and then she went and she jumped over the fire, and she disappeared in a cloud of mist. The people started to go first to go where the children. As the evening and the day passed, the evening passed away. The children were first to go, and the other people began to go, but the mother stayed there. Then the all went. At last, the father also went away, but the mothers stood there just completely sad because the daughter had gone. Some days passed, and she went to bed, and she didn't want to go. She didn't want to get up. She went to bed, and she stayed in bed. She stayed in bed all the springtime, and still she didn't want to get to go out because she was very, very, very sad. She had no daughter now. And the time passed by, and the spring passed by, and they came the summer, the harvest, and then the autumn came by, the leaves fell, and again winter came. Winter came again. And one day she was sleeping. Mother was sleeping, and she had a dream. It was her daughter. Her daughter came near and said, "Mother, mother, dear mother, I'm not gone. I have not gone away. I will always be with you. I am the water that is in the rivers, and I'm in the frost and the water, and the also I'm in the snow that melts. That's me. That's all the time me. I'm water. I'm the water, and I'm always going to be with you. I'm not gone. I'm always going to be with you. So the mother, just at that moment, she acknowledged all that had happened. And she brought up when she started to be in accordance with life. She started to live again for the rest of her years, because the daughter was there all the time with her in another way. Thank you.
The Snow Girl. I teach in a community of Central American immigrants, mostly from Oaxaca, Mexico. Last year, for Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, there was an empty classroom in the school, so teachers turned it into an altar. Students contributed artwork and assemblages honoring the deceased, and the room was transformed into a vibrant, glowing temple of orange and white and black motifs. Visiting classes reported strange and powerful sensations and phenomena. Cameras captured moving, glowing shadows. People reported they felt something in the room, like someone or something was there. The altar had truly become a place where the dead were welcome to be with the living. When my class of second graders visited, a few of them immediately dropped to their knees and prayed. There was a pathway of tissue paper marigold petals leading up to the altar, and soon my entire class was sitting along this pathway with their hands folded, reverently praying. Then the tears began, at first flowing silently, then quiet sobbing, giving in to full-scale weeping for the departed, wailing. The whole class was mourning loudly and collectively for those they loved who were no longer with them. This went on for a long time. And then after 20 minutes, I played my guitar softly until there were only a few sniffles. And then we sang De Colores together because our departed family would like to hear an old familiar song. De colores, de colores. When we got back to class, we gathered for a community circle. And I asked, who was the family member that you made something for the altar for? Over half the class held up their hands. Their stories were heartbreaking. My father died in the summer. That's why we moved here. Both my grandparents got COVID and died in the hospital. My aunt got sick and I never saw her again. The Mexican immigrant community was the hardest hit by COVID, with nearly 60% of all the deaths reported in the county. But there were other causes of death familiar to the children of the city, which used to be the top gang recruitment center of the nation. My uncle was shot when he was coming home. My grandfather was stabbed by a bunch of men who were waiting for him. They found my cousin lying in the street. These children were not strangers to death. People very close to them had died in tragic and heart-shattering ways. So when the principal of our school died later that November, I searched for a way to tell my class without having them cry for a half an hour like they did for the Day of the Dead. They really didn't know the principal very well. She was new to the school. She became the principal during shelter in place, and the kids knew her mostly as a little box on their screens during remote learning. Even when in-person school began, she rarely left her office, and she spoke to staff and students primarily through virtual meetings. Regardless, she was the principal, and her role was significant to young children as the leader of the school. The toll of COVID was not only due to the virus. Remote learning was very difficult for all, administrators included. The new principal stepped into a position when there were no people at the school site, where she had never met any of the staff or students or members of a community that was new to her. She didn't know anybody. And that was still the situation when in-person school began. Her previous school gave her no preparation for how things worked or what would happen on that first day of school. 800 children poured into the schoolyard at one time. They had not been to school in 2 years. They did not know where to go or what to do, and nothing was familiar, for the campus had been remodeled and new buildings erected during the shutdown. Usually, it's only kindergarten kids who cry on the first day of school, but on this day, even sixth graders were crying. It was so overwhelming and confusing, tears were streaming everywhere. Well, teachers sprang into action and began directing, consoling, guiding children to their teachers that they didn't know at locations they didn't know. And the principal stood outside her office door, staring at this chaos and at the hundreds of parents pressed to the cyclone fence who were not allowed to enter the campus to help their poor, crying, precious children, parents who immediately lost faith in the leadership of the school. They saw her there, the new principal, outside her door, frozen like a statue, watching the chaos, doing nothing. Staff and students sorted everything out themselves, and classes began. Everybody saw how she stood like a statue on the first day of school and did nothing. All of us at school found fault with her after that. Whatever she did alienated us, and we didn't trust her. Her health began to decline, and she would shake uncontrollably when she was upset. We knew something was wrong, but nobody knew what. So it was a shock to learn from the superintendent of the school district that she had been admitted to the emergency specialty department at Stanford University Hospital, and she had died of respiratory failure there. Not from COVID, but we all knew it was COVID-related. The stress and strain of running a large inner city school during the time of COVID was too much for her. So how was I going to tell my kids without them breaking down and crying again, without them going back to their tragic losses and opening up those wounds? So I searched David Heathfield's Stories for Our Students on the morning I was to tell my class their principal had died. And I found the Snow Girl. There was a couple who had a very good life with everything they could ever want, except children. The woman wanted a daughter more than anything. But the years went by, and one day her husband told her gently, "You know, we are too old to have any children." The woman went out of the house that night and stood in the yard. The snow began to fall, and she gathered it up and made a statue out of snow, a snow girl. She wished that she could have a daughter like this girl she had made of snow. Then she went to bed. In the morning, a girl burst into the room where the woman was lying in bed and rushed up to her, saying, "Mother, it is your Snow Girl." The woman was astonished and then overjoyed. The beautiful young girl was so lovely and kind and caring. Her smile was brilliant and her laughter lifted the woman's spirits. When her husband came home, he too fell in love with the Snow Girl. And all the people of the village grew to love her fresh, lively ways. They lived in great happiness for many months. And then buds appeared on the trees, and the village gathered to welcome the spring. They made a great bonfire, which all the children of the village leaped over. "You do it too," said the woman to her Snow Girl. The Snow Girl smiled at her mother one last time, and then leaped over the flames and disappeared. For days and days, the woman mourned. She could not get out of bed. She could not get out of her despair at losing her lovely daughter. Then one night, the Snow Girl came to her in a dream. "Mother, do not cry for me. I am the snow that falls every winter. I am the river when you wash your clothes. I am the water in the well every time you drink. I am always with you, Mother." And with that, the woman dried her tears, and she kept the Snow Girl with her always. The children in my class heard the story first. Then I told them the principal had died. There were no tears. They shared what they wanted to do to remember the principal and to say they were sorry she was gone. Their flowers and notes on her school altar in the auditorium were lovely. They said, "You are always with us, and we will always be with you." And maybe that's what the principal had wanted to know all along.